Bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians 15. Starting in verse 9, the Word of God says, "For I am the least of the apostles." You ever feel like that? Not that you're the least of the apostles, but that you're the least. I'm just the least. I'm in the body, but I'm the least. I'm doing something, but I'm the least. I'm in school, but I'm the least. I'm the least of the apostles. That I am not meet to be called sufficient. That's what that means. That I'm not suitable or sufficient to be called an apostle. You ever feel like that? I'm not suitable and I'm not sufficient. If they really only knew what I was like, they would realize what I'm pulling over on them here. And I'm really worried that they're going to figure it out. That I'm getting one over on them. Because they appointed me onto this, I'm entering into this, but I really don't have it. And I better keep quiet about it. I'm not suitable. You ever get that? You ever get that? Pastors get that a lot. What am I doing? Trying to preach the Bible. This is like crazy. You know, it's like I have a flesh. You know, I have hang-ups like everybody else. This is pastors, not me, but pastors in general. I have a flesh, hang-ups, problems, issues, whatever, challenges, insecurities, frustrations, whatever. What am I doing there? I think really that one over there should be in my place, but I'm not going to say anything because I'm here. I would look bad. You ever feel like that? You ever feel like that? I'm not suitable. But Paul had a reason, and we often have reasons too, because I persecuted the church. I'm not suitable because I did this. I'm not suitable because I entered into that. I'm not suitable because this is what I think. I'm not suitable because this is my history. I'm not suitable because before I was saved, I failed in this way. Or maybe even after I was saved, I failed in this way. I'm not suitable because we do this to ourselves. And we do it a lot because we agree with projections. Never agree with projections. Never agree with projections. Never agree with projections, okay? Never agree with projections. We agree with them all the time. Never agree with projections. You're not really like this because you know what happened. You're not really like this. You're not really suitable. You're not really accepted. You're not really forgiven. You're not really renewed. You're not really reconciled because you know what happened. Because you know what you did. So you're not really that way. And don't remind me of it. Thank you. See, this is a projection. That's a projection. But we'll agree with it. Oh yeah, I remember and I wish I didn't. I'm ashamed of myself. I'm embarrassed. I'm angry at myself. I wish I didn't. And I can't get away from the fact that I did. Projection. We receive projections. And we agree with them. That's the problem with projections. That we agree with them. They're always projections against the Word of God. Do you understand that? This is how you can recognize a projection. It is some form of an accusation against you, against the Word of God, contrary to the Word of God. Let's say that again. I think this is a $1 million definition and then some. It'll save you $1 million in counseling. Listen carefully. Projections frequently, very frequently, take place as some form of accusation against you or somebody else, contrary to the Word of God. contrary to the finished work. Contrary to who God has created you and made you to be. And you may say to yourself, this happened after I was a believer. But there is no place in the Bible that makes that distinction. Before I was a believer, if I sinned, well, everything's covered in the blood. But now, after I was a believer, if I sinned, well, now it's mine. I was that new creation and now it's mine, and I sinned as the new creation. I've got news for you. When it says renewed, when it says God's mercies are new every moment, every morning, is really talking about every moment. When it says cleansed by the blood, sins removed, forgotten, it's not talking about pre and post salvation. It's talking about pre and post this moment. It's in the moment. Been a believer 27 years. If I failed last week, it's already gone. You know when it went away? Last week plus one moment. We never accept projections to the contrary. But we believers, and you know why I think this happens? Because we think that there should be some good thing in us. The sooner that I accept the fact that there's no good thing in me, the sooner it's going to be easier for me to accept the grace of God, accept the power of the blood, accept what God has done for me. But so long as I think there's any good thing in me, I'm not going to be able to accept God's provisions. Because God's provisions are established on the fact that there is no good thing in me. You think there's a good thing in you? You're going to be open to projections. I'm not saying that if you get projections, you think there's a good thing in you. You get projections for a million different reasons. You get projections because you're in a war and you are a combatant. But if you think there's any good thing in you, that's an invitation to projections. Because if you think there's a good thing in you, then all you're going to see is the bad things. The failures, the negativity. When God wants to take that and completely remove it from your frame of reference, from your memory. And so, I experience the newness of life moment by moment. Paul, in this passage, I am the least of the apostles, that in that I am not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God, was operating outside of the finished work. He was receiving a demonic identity designed by the enemy for him. Did you know that the enemy designs an identity for you? Makes you feel special, doesn't it? The enemy designs an identity for you. I'm pretty good, but I fail sometimes. 3 years ago, I made a mistake, and that's my identity. That mistake is now my identity. Before I was saved, I had an abortion, and that's my identity. I had an abortion. And I constantly live in the guilt of the abortion. Satan designs your identity to be wrapped around any kind of a failure he can muster up. And he designs your identity around it. Now, sometimes the failure doesn't necessarily appear like one. My identity is I'm a really good guy. My identity is, I'm a Christian and I don't make mistakes. My identity is self-righteous. I elevate myself, and in my goodness is my identity. See, that's a failure also. So it doesn't matter whether the failure is on the good side of the tree of knowledge or on the evil side of the tree of knowledge. It's the tree of knowledge identity. We never accept Satan's initiation of a tree of knowledge identity. We never accept Satan's initiation of a past issue identity. We never accept that. We always accept what God says and never turn from it because Satan whispers in our ears. But it's very common among believers that they'll receive a projection from the atmosphere, sometimes about their identity, sometimes something else. Some things that'll produce maybe guilt or fear or shame or sense of uncleanness. How many believers struggle with a sense of uncleanness for a whole variety of reasons? That's a satanic projection. But they agree with it. Because they refuse to yield to the finished work realities. By the way, I said finished work, get this word, folks, realities. Reality is not determined by my experiences or my thinking. Reality is determined by what God has done and what God has said. That's reality. Remember, I'm the one who was formed. He did the forming. Anybody ever work with clay here? Show hands. You work with clay? Clay's kind of interesting. I used to work with clay when I was younger. It's kind of interesting. You make something out of clay, and it's just going along, and maybe something falls on it. Right? So you're making something. I used to make like these little house type things. I made a shoe house one time out of clay. It looked really cool. Or a shoe, not even a shoe house. It was intended to be a shoe house. It just turned out to be a perfect... I mean, and I'm not trying to... But it was like a really good... And I did a good job because I'm a pretty good artist. And I'm not tooting my own horn here. I just am. I made this like really great thing of my boot. It was kind of cool. Right? And you know what's funny? When I was making it, I kept breaking the laces off. Because they were thin. And I had one time when something fell on it and it kind of crushed the top of the boot and it damaged it. You know what I did? I took out that piece and I took another piece and I reformed that which was damaged. And when it was all done, there was no damage at all. When it was all done, it was a perfectly formed boot. Yet we think that the potter in whose hands we are will leave the damage in place. And we identify ourselves with something that's not there. He removed it. If you looked at that boot, you would never see any damage. You can say, oh, that's where the damage was. No, it wasn't there. The damage was, you see, as it was being formed, it got formed again. Our lives are being formed by God. If I make a mistake and something damages me, God will remove that mistake and He will reform that area of my life so there is no damage. I can't claim the damage. It's not there. It's better than getting your car fixed. Because then you can sometimes see where it got fixed. Here, you can't see it. It was never there. The damage, it was simply formed and reformed. I have built you and I will build you again, O Virgin Israel. Jeremiah 31:4. You can't see the damage because the damage isn't there. It's not that it was there. In the formation of that life, if something went askew, it was removed and new was made. It's not there. It's just not there. Paul was not thinking finished work realities when he said that. But he turned to finished work reality in the very next verse. You see, when Paul got into these ruts where he wasn't thinking in the finished work, it didn't take him too long to correct his thinking. In verse 19 he said, "But by the grace of God I am what I am. By the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which is in me." Now, the woman who had washed his feet with her tears, Jesus said about her, "She that sinned much loves much." Right here, Paul is saying the same thing. I was damaged, but God made me new. And now, because I'm new, I give it all the more effort. Because I'm new. I'm more devoted to it than ever because I'm new. And so what he was really doing was living in that finished work. Now, the key to this is the word, "I am what I am." We think grace of God. Grace of God is connected to it, absolutely. You can't separate it. It's right there. But I am what I am. Why? Because in Exodus 3:14, Moses told them, "I am that I am has sent you." Remember that message? I am, name of God, I am. John 8:58, "Verily I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." I am there is Amy. And it signifies the completion of the work, the finished work. So what he's saying is, my life is completed by the grace of God. That part of me that was damaged once has been completely removed, cannot be found because it's not there. I've been reformed by the grace of God, and I've been made new all over again. And that took place in this moment. In this moment. How quickly does God forget my mistakes? Well, you can't count it in moments. It's too fast. But in the next moment, I'm completely cleansed by the blood. In the next moment, I'm completely renewed. In the next moment, I have completely had removed from me all the mistakes that I made. It didn't take a long time. It took to the next moment. And that's what he's saying here. That I am being completed continuously by the grace of God. And that grace of God is continuously taking care of me. That grace of God is continuously removing anything that's not right with God. Remember, we think of our mistakes as being some sort of an outward failure. And while that can be a mistake, most definitely, but also remember, it's no different than any other lack of faith. Because it's that lack of faith that defines sin in 1 Corinthians 15. So we say to ourselves, well, I failed in this way, and that's a failure, but right now I'm failing also because I'm not operating in faith. And that is called adding sin to sin. And now I'm really condemned. Okay, sin to sin to sin. No, we simply operate in faith to the grace of God. And in that faith toward the grace of God, we have the experience of our victory. And so I don't operate beyond, or I should say, I don't operate behind the moment. But any time that I try to bring up something, some kind of a failure that doesn't exist, tell me what God doesn't know that does exist, I don't operate behind the moment. It really kind of, in a way, makes no sense, but that's what we try to do. We try to operate behind the moment. And we accept the initiations of satanic projections and we start to agree with them, to change our identity from what we are to what Satan wants us to be. Remember, when Satan initiates a projection, it doesn't mean that's what you are. That's what he wants you to be. But the way we operate in Hebrews 12:2, we look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. The one who makes us into the I am what I am. And we look to Him. Get this next point. If you take nothing away from today, get this next point. You never estimate your significance to God by the appearance of your life. You never estimate your significance to God by the appearance of your life. You may appear to be a train wreck, David, but you're going to be the prince in the millennium. Pharisee, you may appear to be phenomenal, but there's no life in you. You never estimate the significance of your life to God, of your significance to God. You never estimate your significance to God by the appearance of your life. Why? God looks at the heart. And He doesn't look at the failures of the heart. He looks at the heart that longs for Him. David was phenomenal not because of the appearance of his life, but because he always ran to mercy. He always looked for mercy, and thereby in Jude 21 kept himself in the love of God. And that's what God saw. You never... Let me say that again, because this could solve so many people's personal problems. You never estimate your significance to God based on the appearance of your life. By the way, the appearance does mean when the woman was caught in adultery, her significance to God was not her adultery. Her significance to God was that she was beloved, that she received His mercy. That was her significance to God. And God looked on her and said, "This is one who will receive my mercy." And He looked on the accusers and said, "These are those who will not receive my mercy." And the significance to God wasn't what either one did. It was, will they receive my mercy? And if I'm willing to receive my mercy, you know what? I'm sorry, if I'm willing to receive God's mercy, you know what? My life will get right with God. You know why people live in practical problems? They get like... things happened years ago and they still have problems because of them. They never received mercy. They never embraced mercy for the situation. They simply embraced the appearance of what happened. And by appearance, that's all it was. It was a vapor. It's not even there anymore. But they never received mercy. Our lives are completed by the grace of God. And we become what we are by the grace of God. So the identity that I always take on is a grace of God identity. Because the grace of God, it's by that that I am what I am. You may not like what I am, but it's by the grace of God. The potter makes me into what I am. Plain and simple. The potter makes me into what I am. And He does it by His grace. There is your identity. Amen?